The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, well, well. Good morning, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karam Rose, and it looks like Southern Steve has made an appearance for some leftovers. All of us, I think, had an unusual subpar Thanksgiving, including the Cowboys. But Mr. Smith, you seem to enjoy yourself. Yep. Let me ask you this, sir. Washington dominating Dallas. Go ahead. Go ahead, Southern Steve.
I just want to say howdy. I hope, Molly, you and Max had a wonderful Thanksgiving equitable to mine. Because I got to tell you something right now. It was special. It was very, very special.
Can't imagine why you're in such a great mood.
I'm glad somebody enjoyed themselves. Southern Steve, let me ask you this. Mike McCarthy, do you think he blew the game for your Dallas Cowboys down there in Texas?
Well, absolutely, positively correct, Molly. I mean, I don't think there's any way to deny that. Did you see that man coach that game yesterday, Max Kellerman? Did you see that man? Did you see him go for fourth and inches on his own 35-yard line in the first half, but not give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and instead elect to pass the ball against the number one pass defense in the National Football League? That's the Washington Redskins. That's what I saw. Did you see him try a fake punt, okay, from his own 24-yard line of 4th and 10? Did you see that? That's what I saw. Did you see that play materialize and Mike McCarthy not recognize the fact that it might have been one of the worst calls we've seen in quite some time? This man actually sat up there with a straight face and said, you know something? It was a good call. You understand? It was right there to be executed correctly, okay? The bottom line is this man doesn't seem to know what he's doing too often. Now, obviously, we have to look at other players. We got to look at the Ezekiel Elliott of the world rushing for only 32 yards on 10 carries. We got to look at him fumbling for the sixth time this year. Fumbled 5 times. Never had more than 5 fumbles. Already got 6 this season. He has clearly regressed. Did you see Andy Dalton throw that pick 6? Whole bunch of problems. But in the end, what it comes down to is that the game was right there. Right there. The Dallas Cowboys were only down 4. Only down 4. Even when Jalen Smith got the interception and got chased down by McLaurin and they had first and goal on their own 4-yard line, I thought Mike McCarthy knew something about offense. But you're in the red zone 3 or 4 times, can't get in. Can't get in the end zone. You combine them not being able to get into the end zone. Look at the fake punt. Look at going in for 4th and inches. Look at him throwing a football when he should have been running the football. I don't think there's any doubt in our minds that Mike McCarthy has been a liability, or at the very least, especially yesterday, he was more of a liability than an asset as head coach of those Dallas Cowboys.
Well, everything you said is right about Mike McCarthy. But and it was coaching that cost Dallas the game, but it wasn't the Dallas coach. They didn't lose by a touchdown or even 2. They got curb stomped. And guess who's the coach on the other sideline? Because that's the coaching that we should be talking about today. Mike McCarthy's trying to be something he's not, right? Oh, I understand the analytics now. I have to go for it more, so he goes for it. Zone 24. Ridiculous, right? But they don't call Ron Rivera Riverboat Ron for nothing. Because he was doing that stuff before everyone was doing it. He and Belichick, a few others, right? That's why they call him Riverboat Ron, because he was willing to take risks. That's really who he was. But it wasn't at the expense of sound football. Rivera always has competent teams. Whether or not they always have winning seasons, so few coaches ever never have a losing season. But usually Carolina had winning seasons. A lot of times they were in the playoffs. They even made a run to the Super Bowl. Right? Because they're soundly coached teams. Those guys are coached up. So when McLaurin goes and pulls a DK Metcalf, right? Chasing down the defensive player who's streaking toward the end zone on what should be a pick six. When he makes a play like that, when you see that all over the field, guys doing that little bit of extra, it's because they're well coached. It's because they're motivated. It's because in a season that looked lost, right, with Alex Smith, who was going to retire, you know, everyone just assumed he was gone because he had taken such a beating, really, is coming back now and he's under center. That guy is your quarterback. The season's lost, except it's not. And that's the mark of a really competent coach. By the way, Washington tried their own trick play. And now, he has a much better sense than McCarthy of when to do it. Ain't going to be from his own 24 on fourth down. But it's not like he wasn't pulling stuff like that, too. So all the focus today is going to be on McCarthy and his mistakes. They put up 40. They only gave up 16. And Ron Rivera has a lot to do with that.
Max Kellerman, I got to tell you something, buddy. You're a kind soul, and that's what this is about. You're being entirely kind to that Washington team that doesn't have football name. And I know where you're going with this, Max Kellerman. I know where you're going with this. You want to tell me why? Want me to tell you why you're so kind? Because they're no longer the Redskins. A matter of fact, they've been so ashamed of themselves, they won't even give themselves a damn name. They're the Washington team. They won't even let us know whether they're from D.C. or the Pacific Northwest, let alone give themselves an actual name. They don't have a mascot. They don't have anything going on right now. So you're probably proud of them, and you're happy about them. And because of that, you want to give them a pass. I understand. I understand, Max Kellerman. I understand. But here's the reality of the situation. Brother. When you look at Alex Smith, Max Kellerman, he threw for 149 yards. Is that something to write about? No. 115 yards rushing on 20 carries by Antonio Gibson. It's a good day, no question about it. But is it knock your socks off like a Derrick Henry performance? No, it isn't. Okay? When you look at their offensive performance overall, ain't nothing to write home about. That defense is something special now. That defense is something special. We got to look out for them. But Montez Sweat and all of these brothers, I mean, we got to give respect where respect is due. But when you look at what Mike McCarthy did, talk about bringing Christmas to Dallas a month early. He was hanging out. He was handing out gifts all night long. The fourth and inches, the fake punt, the fumble by Ezekiel Elliott, Andy Dalton with a pick six. How about going for it in fourth and inches and not running the damn football when you got a $90 million running back, okay? But instead, choosing the path. I gave you five things off the top of my head right there that shows that's about coaching. That was about the coaching on the Dallas Cowboys side, not the Washington football team. And as a result, Max, that's why we're sitting here today talking about these boys, because that's how pathetic they were. I feel sorry for the Cowboys as an organization. Jerry Jones didn't make the right call. Stephen Jones didn't make the right call. Mike McCarthy's not the man for that job. But I am very happy for what the Cowboy fan is going through this morning. They are so miserable right now. They're hiding from me, Max. I can't find them. Oh, by the way, Max, did you know that playmaker called me about an hour ago? He was hiding for 12 hours, but he called me about an hour ago, Max. And he sat up there and tried. And you know what he tried to do, Max Kellerman? That old playmaker, Michael Irvin? You know what he tried to do? He said COVID-19. The coronavirus pandemic and the way it has ravaged this nation and this world, it is apropos that that has happened with the Cowboys. So he's trying to use it as an excuse and trying to hide beneath that to point out their ineptitude. That's how pathetic the Cowboy fans are. Floor is yours, buddy.
I can't argue with the point you're making about Mike McCarthy from yesterday. Your $90 million running back, give him the ball on fourth and one. Duh. Try a quarterback sneak maybe, right? That's the actually most efficient thing you can do in a short yardage situation. A quarterback sneak from a guy like who's done it before, a guy who came into the league as a pretty fast quarterback. Like, you know, there are a million things you can do. And Mike McCarthy did, and even him claiming, hey, if it works, it's good. I'm not going to second guess the negative outcome from your own 24. Of course, like I can't argue against Mike McCarthy's bungling yesterday. But what's that got to do with Ron Rivera? And by the way, Stephen A., I understand what you mean. Minority coaching hire, minority GM hire, right? Like, and so there are better feelings about the team, no more racist name, all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Ron Rivera, the head football coach. I'm talking about the guy who is one of the more competent coaches in the league, who very rarely coaches a bad team, where you can see a culture change when the wideout chases down the interception, right, and makes the tackle, and then the defense keeps them to a field goal. I'm talking about that Ron Rivera. Like, that guy has coached this team up, because Mike McCarthy, I thought, had the Cowboys in the right direction. You know, I saw something against the Eagles, little by little, a little better. Tough game against the Steelers, beats the Vikings. And then yesterday had a horrible performance. But what I see from Washington with the remains of Alex Smith, what I see from Washington is more and more competence as the year goes on. And that includes yesterday. By the way, Antonio Gibson, you bring up Stephen A. Ron Rivera said, and he should know something about Christian McCaffrey, that Gibson has the same skill set as Christian McCaffrey. He didn't say he was as good, but has the same skill set. You know, this guy is instilling confidence in the team, and this is a team that is giving effort, and as a result is in first place. Horrible division, but they're in first place.
Hey, Molly, all right, after the fake punt, Dallas was outgained 110-38. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll close by saying this. Ain't it amazing how competent everybody looks when they're going up against those Cowboys?
All right, Southern Steve. Maybe we'll see a little bit later in the show, because I have some more questions about these Cowboys. But there's another Texas team I want to discuss, because Deshaun Watson, he looked all right. Texans stomping the Lions 41-25 behind a stellar performance from Deshaun Watson, who passed for four TDs and a defensive touchdown by J.J. Watt. Meanwhile, the Lions fell to 4-7, including a 1-4 record at home. Lions coach Matt Patricia now forced to field questions about his job status. So, Max, what do you think's the bigger headline here? Is it that Matt Patricia's job is on the line, or Deshaun Watson and how incredible he's been?
Ah, we knew the Detroit headline going in. We talked about it yesterday. Deshaun Watson. You know, Deshaun Watson is thought of as a superstar by some, and by others as, because he has that national championship, you know, stink about him from college, because he has this thing where we all seem to think he's going to be a superstar because his coach said he's the next Michael Jordan, all those kind of things, that in fact we're overrating Deshaun Watson. When you look at the numbers, he really doesn't deserve to be in thought of as an elite quarterback. And because he's on such a bad team, until the last couple weeks, we really weren't thinking about him much. And if you dug into the numbers, say, yeah, maybe he's not actually, maybe his reputation and the way we feel about him really outstrips his performance. This is the second consecutive week where you look at him and go, how do you play quarterback better than that? That's as well as you can play the position. And when a guy like Deshaun Watson, who you know, because lots of guys give you that feeling, I want him with the game on the line, right? But when a guy like that, who gives you that feeling with his pedigree, starts to put together games like he's put together, especially for a bad team, especially for a team that took a step in the wrong direction and had to get rid of the guy responsible, when he starts doing that, it takes away all the excuses and it solidifies his status as, you always have to say other than Patrick Mahomes. You got to say other than Patrick Mahomes because he's in a different stratosphere. The only guy I've ever seen comparable to Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers in his prime. But we have to say, Stephen A., at this moment, Sean Watson's the second best quarterback in the AFC.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. What I will say to you is that that's not the story that I walked away focused on. The story that I walked away focused on, Max Kellerman, is that Matt Patricia is somebody that needs to lose his job. He's got to go. When you fire Jim Caldwell, and we talked about this yesterday, Max, so I know you agree. When you talk about Jim Caldwell going 36-28, four seasons in the Detroit Lions organization as his head coach, two times he took them to the postseason, and you get rid of him after a 9-7 season. Mike Greenberg, Greeny, on Get Up This Morning, pointed out a very salient fact that I think needs to be echoed. Matt Patricia could win the next 24 games straight and still would have more losses than Jim Caldwell did as head coach of the Detroit Lions. Let's repeat that, because that's worth repeating. Matt Patricia could win 24 straight games and still have a worse winning percentage and have more losses than Jim Caldwell did in his 4 years as head coach of the Detroit Lions. But this man still kept his job. You see, when we talk about social justice issues, and we talked about people being in the streets and complaining and going off, it wasn't, as I reiterated this point, and I'm very serious about this, it wasn't just about George Floyd having a knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. It's about the fact that on far too many occasions, particularly in corporate America, Black folks have felt like we've had a knee on our neck for quite some time, figuratively speaking, of course. And when you look at how Jim Caldwell was unceremoniously dismissed and let go, but you see the patience that's exercised for somebody like a Matt Patricia, who may be smart, like Rob Ninkovich said earlier, who was a capable defensive coordinator, a champion as a defensive coordinator, and all of this stuff, but clearly inept as a head coach. And 1 year after another, the level of patience is given to him that just doesn't come our way. That's where problems are created. And when you engage in a meritocracy in its true, purest form, and you hold people accountable for doing their job or lack thereof, then you have a better society because we understand that the rules are fair. And with Matt Patricia, that's not the case. I feel sorry for him and his family. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to say he doesn't deserve to be a coach in the NFL, but he does not deserve to be a head coach, particularly for these Detroit Lions. They are not a good team. They have talent, but they are not well coached. They haven't been well coached. They were 3-3 before losing four of their last five or so. They got a decent win over Arizona. Their other three victories, I think, came against Jacksonville, the Washington football team, and I forgot what other non-winning team it was. This man has not been impressive, but continues to be employed. He should be gone because he's had ample enough opportunity to prove that he's worthy, and he hasn't done it, Max.
I think there's a larger issue there. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson is the story because Deshaun Watson, like, I agree with you about all this. I thought this going into the game. Deshaun Watson reestablished himself, I think, firmly. If you talk about quarterbacks in football, let's just take the AFC. Other than Mahomes, he's the guy. He's the guy. It's a shame that his team has been mismanaged the way it has been, and they've relied so heavily upon him that he keeps them respectable in spite of bad decisions made about him. But in terms to address the point that you just brought up, it reminds me a little bit of the Panthers in this sense. In both cases, Ron Rivera, not African-American, but considered broadly a minority head coach. If you move on from a head coach that is highly competent and winning, but you feel is not quite good enough to get you to a Super Bowl, or you're looking for more, Rivera was usually, like a lot of times in the playoffs, winning seasons, got to a Super Bowl, but the Panthers looked at him and Cam and said, we think we can do better than that. We're going to tear it down to get even better. And then you bring in a head coach, which is not a minority hire especially, and in fact, you go backwards. Like, the point is, when you make that decision, you make sure that you're actually, in swinging for the fences, going to move things forward. Otherwise, people will rightly say, what happened? We were pretty good, and now we stink. Same thing with the Lions. The Lions had a head coach who was African-American. Two out of four seasons, made the playoffs, averaged 9 wins a season, thought they could do better, and have done much, much worse. And the fact that it was an African-American head coach let go and a white head coach brought in this league where African-American representation in that position so low makes it look even worse.
Well, listen, I'm not disagreeing with any of your points. All I'm saying is that if you're talking to me about Deshaun Watson, I'm down with it. All I'm saying is yesterday ain't some prime example because of who he was going against. The Detroit Lions are the 25th ranked team against the rush, 26th against the pass, 27th in yards allowed, and 30th, the third worst defense in the entire National Football League. Matt Patricia's signature is defense. He's not getting it done, period.
No question. Watson, though, has accounted for 88% of his team's offense, the highest rate in the NFL this entire season. So he has been doing it all season long. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Lamar Jackson is among the four latest Ravens players and one staff member to test positive Thursday, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Ravens now have at least a dozen players that have tested positive for COVID-19 this week, further putting the Ravens-Steelers matchup in jeopardy of being postponed again. The Ravens' outbreak started on Sunday after their game versus the Titans as J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram tested positive for coronavirus, which closed their team facilities. On Wednesday, they added three players to the reserve COVID-19 list, and their game versus the Steelers was postponed until Sunday afternoon. Yesterday, four players tested positive, including, as I just mentioned, Lamar Jackson. Ravens coach John Harbaugh told players Thursday that they would not be allowed back to the team facility until Monday at the earliest in the interest of safety. Stephen A., Ravens Steelers, in your opinion, should it be postponed yet again?
Absolutely. I think it should. I originally did not feel that way because we heard about, you know, a couple of positive tests. But when you take into account there were tests Sunday and then there were positive tests Wednesday and then yesterday Lamar Jackson tests positive. You talk about Mark Ingram, you talk about Calais Campbell, you talk about J.K. Dobbins and various others. The bottom line is that I look at it from the standpoint when you're talking about 12 different players that have tested positive, when you're talking about a coach that has received disciplinary action against him because of his handling of the coronavirus situation in terms of, you know, operating under protocol and things of that nature. I don't think that this is something that one could safely say is contained. And as a result, I think that they should be very, very reluctant to play this game. It would be one thing if it was, you know, three, four, five players. I don't care how many players it is. But if you test positive and it's definitive and it's something that was revealed that day and that's it, that's one thing. But when you have three separate days moving forward throughout the week where guys ultimately are revealed to have tested positive, then to me, that's not a chance worth taking. And as a result, I definitely think the game should be postponed, meaning canceled for this Sunday.
That depends for me. If they continue to test and everything's negative and they feel it is, and the medical experts, like doctors, feel this is contained, then I don't care how many guys they're missing. That them's the breaks. Like, that's how we have to view this season of COVID, right? To try to somehow get through the season. I mean, there are ethical questions as to whether we should even be playing tackle football in the middle of a pandemic. However, that was the choice that was made. So we have to realize things will not be perfect. Everyone has to make compromises and kind of cooperate to get this thing done. And the Steelers have done that. Steelers did it with the Titans. They moved their bye. Now they lose their mini bye. The whole thing. Like, they've done whatever they, and are undefeated, by the way. And so I get it, Stephen A. I'm with you if they say, nope, we don't know that this is contained. This is an ongoing issue. You got to postpone the game. It has to be done. However, if it is contained, I don't care if they're missing 16 dudes. You're playing on Sunday. Right. Like, to me, it's only a health issue. It's not a competitive thing issue. No, because the Steelers, you have to be fair to everybody. Why should the Steelers have to play a week 18 or whatever it's going to be? You know, why should the Steelers, who've already had to move a game because the Titans wound up with COVID and it turns out that they hadn't violated protocol, the Titans. Right, there was reporting early that maybe they were practicing, but it turns out the team hadn't violated protocol, and so whatever, they reschedule stuff. If it turns out, however, because this is a developing story, and the last I saw, and that was on Get Up this morning, Stephen A., the last I saw was that there's a strength and conditioning coach who had symptoms that he didn't report. If there was any kind of protocol violation on the part of the Ravens, and whether or not that led to the spread definitively, we can prove cause and effect. If there were simply protocol violations, I think, and the Ravens don't want to play on Sunday, or it's not safe for them to now do it, they should just forfeit the game. Forfeit the game. You have to be fair to everybody, including the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if they can't go, they can't go. If they follow protocols, it turns out, if you investigate it, they follow protocols, and it's unsafe to play, you have to postpone. Play week 18. If, however, it's contained, you play on Sunday. I don't care how many guys you're missing. If they violated protocols and they can't go on Sunday, they should forfeit the game. It should be a loss for the Ravens and a win for the Steelers.
I have no problem with them having to forfeit the game if it's revealed that they violated protocol. If it's not, I don't think a forfeiture is fair. If you didn't violate protocol, then a forfeiture is not fair because it's something that's out of your control. And my issue for pushing the game back, Max Kellerman, and I'm very reluctant to even spit something like that out of my mouth, but here's where I make the exception. I don't see how any medical professional can say we've contained anything if you have tests on Sunday, then on Wednesday, then on Thursday. If you have positive tests on three separate days, one would surmise that if you're talking about containment, then as of Sunday or Monday, you should be able to say, these are the test result. These are the test results. And we've given out these tests. These are the results. And this is what it is. If you're finding more and more positive tests come along as the week progresses, then that's not containment. And then now you're in danger of ultimately infecting the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's why I say, nah, this Sunday, I would cancel this week's game because three separate days, more positive tests have come. I don't know how containment could take place when that's happening before Sunday.
I'm talking theoretically. You're talking practically. Practically, I think you're probably right. I think your logic is sound and you're probably right. You should probably just immediately postpone the game and then after the fact figure out whether that postponement means they will play a week 18 or whether the Ravens should then forfeit the game. But my real point is forfeiture should be on the table. I know some money is lost for the teams, for the league. I understand that. I understand that in the spirit of cooperation, sometimes you say, guys, come on, I know it's not perfectly fair to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They kind of got screwed twice this season by it, but so they're the team that had to compromise more than others. Let's play football. Let's get as close as possible to a normal season. Things won't be perfect. I understand that line of thinking, but I think that is superseded. I think that loses the argument to a team if it's found they violated protocols in the middle of a pandemic. A point you've brought up repeatedly, Stephen A., the players opted out of a season where there would be kind of bubbles, right? That means they accept personal responsibility. That means teams do. That means their training staff. That means everyone. So at a certain point, you need incentives for good behavior. You need things that dissuade and punish bad behavior. And if we're not getting the Steelers are bumped off of primetime, they lose their mini by like all those things. No, not if you're not playing. If you're not following protocol, you should lose. The Steelers should win.
Well, definitely, if you're not following protocol, we don't disagree there. But I'm gonna propose something to you, and I'll leave it up to you to answer real quickly. I am a proponent that now more so than ever, Max, it's one thing to ask them to be in a bubble kind of atmosphere dating back from July or August in preparation for an entire season. But now that December is rapidly approaching, we're talking about, for most dudes, a month, if not, and for, you know, the contenders, 2 months max. I think within 2 weeks' time, a bubble should be instituted, Max, regardless of how they feel about it. They should have no say. You're asking them to make a sacrifice for maybe a month. I think that right now,
more than ever over these next couple of weeks, the NFL should be able to enforce a bubble for these teams. It shouldn't even be a debate about it.
This is what Major League Baseball did for the playoffs, right? I totally agree. They need to, this is a debate show, but this issue goes beyond debate. You know, we I think we have to discuss this seriously and reasonably. You need to be elastic enough. You need to be able to be adaptable enough to try to finish this thing. 200,000 new COVID cases a day, people relaxing because they hear a vaccine is coming down the pike, the cold weather hitting, flu season hitting. Nah, stop that. Primetime games on Thanksgiving being postponed, maybe canceled, maybe forfeited, like we don't know. No, if they want to finish this season, that's exactly right, Stephen A. There's a month or two left. Bubble it up now and get safe the way the NBA did. Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, we're obviously dealing with two major holidays, so people traveling and trying to get together with their family. So that will have an impact as well. I mean, I'm just seeing crossing wires now that the Broncos have canceled practice. They're dealing with their own COVID situation. They haven't canceled the game with New Orleans just yet. So it appears that RG3 will be at the helm for the Ravens when they do play that game. He did beat the Steelers last season, but it was week 17, so I don't know if that really counts. I think they had already locked up the bye.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Well, this is going to be fun. The old guard versus the new guard, the two faces of the league. Max Kellerman, tell me this. Do you think Brady versus Mahomes would be the best Super Bowl matchup we could have?
No, I don't think it would be the best. I get it's a changing of the guard, you know, the most famous against the best. But no one considers Brady and Mahomes' category right now. He's not in his league right now. No one, like, you know, when you talk about the most talented quarterbacks, or the, forget about that, the best quarterbacks in football right now, Brady's name hasn't come up in a couple of years. In a couple of years. Won last year. Even the year before we won the Super Bowl. You know, lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. Even then, Brady really wasn't coming up in those conversations. It's been a while, guys. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback I've ever seen. You know, Brady's more famous. He did it for longer. But Patrick Mahomes, who do I want to see him play out of the NFC? I'd love to see him link up with Russell Wilson, who, in spite of his recent problems, was putting together early on maybe his best campaign, and over the last half dozen years has been, over that time, the best player in football. Maybe not in any one year, but over that whole time. And has an explosive offense and is tasked with winning shootouts every week and maybe could draw the Chiefs into a shootout. Or how about a team in Brady's own division that's beat him twice and also has a very famous quarterback, which would be a bigger story because Breeze would be coming back from injury in likely his last chance, and he's loaded maybe with his best overall team, maybe that he's ever played on. I'd love to see Drew Breeze and the Saints go up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Or how about Stephen A., the quarterback, that bad man, who, let's face it, was the baddest man ever at his best until Mahomes came along. Let's see Aaron Rodgers and son of Aaron Rodgers, right? And Aaron Rodgers 2.0 link up in the Super Bowl. I think all those would be more interesting than the remains of Tom Brady, which is still pretty good, on a nice team that's lost to the Saints twice against Mahomes.
Max Kellerman, Here's where you and I disagree. First of all, let me just, I hope that your heart is okay. I hope you don't fall and catch a heart attack on national television. I'm not convinced that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen. I still believe that to be Aaron Rodgers. Now, Patrick Mahomes might be better at this moment, but I believe that let me see him do it, and I believe he will, but let me see him do it over a long period of time. I believe that with my two eyes, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in NFL history, ever. I'm talking about the combination of throwing, standing still in the pocket, on the run, from the left or the right, you know, scrambling out of the pocket. I think that Aaron Rodgers is the best, most talented, most complete quarterback we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. That's number one. Number two, though, let me tell you how you're different than me. You're speaking, Max Kellerman, as a commentator and a pundit, and I totally get that. I understand that because that's the seat we're sitting in. My eye, however, is remember, I'm a journalist too. I was a journalist and I became a columnist for Philadelphia Inquirer for 17 years, all of this other stuff. So I'm thinking about the storyline. To get to the Super Bowl, imagine what Tom Brady would have to do. Right now, Max, you're right about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. But the operative word here is Super Bowl matchup. That means once you get through those things, what would the story be? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, great story, great storylines. They go to the Super Bowl, boom. But what if Tom Brady got there? What if Tom Brady, Molly, shows up and outduels Aaron Rodgers, outduels Russell Wilson in those 2 to 3 weeks that an NFC playoff matchup takes place with Antonio Brown and Evans and Godwin and Gronk? Max, Molly, could you imagine the storyline if he plays lights out for 3 weeks in the
Unreal.
Postseason and then Unreal. You got to face Patrick Mahomes
well,
at 43? Mm-hmm. No storyline would beat
that. That'd be so good.
We look at Russell Wilson.
Well,
we look at Aaron Rodgers and say, we like it. But those two together, under those conditions, that would be special.
No, I think there's a better storyline than that. Now, I think you left out the most important part. There.
What is it?
And by the way, first let me say, you can argue Aaron Rodgers is the best ever you've ever seen in his prime. I first want to say that. You could argue that. Those are the two. I would say if you wanted to improve Aaron Rodgers, you'd give him a little more Favre, but less the turnovers. A little gunslinger, a little bit more team leader type that they rally around. I think that's Mahomes. But okay. The better matchup, Stephen A., first of all, if Brady got there, a lot of it would be about the defense. That's really what would do it, just like it was with the Patriots when he beat when he got there against the Rams and beat the Rams.
But that's not what I said.
That would be a big story. The number one story would be
I said if he
the
played
most
lights
famous
out.
Football player, the most famous football player in the world, Tom Brady, the face of the league, passing the torch or trying to defend the crown against the best football player in the world, the future face of the league. That's the storyline there. I got a better one for you. I brought it up before. The New Orleans Saints. Because Brady said he wants to keep playing, right? He wants to play till he's 45. We don't know if Drew Brees is ever going to play again after this season. We weren't sure Drew Brees was going to play this season. They're in the same division, Brady
Good
and
story
Brees.
Line.
Brees beat him twice. The second time, worse than the first. So one of the most beloved and greatest quarterbacks ever on maybe the best team he's ever played on or the most balanced gets his ribs crashed and
Max.
Crushed and
no.
his lungs punctured
no.
and
Max.
Comes back in the no. playoffs and faces
Distant
Patrick
second.
Mahomes.
Sorry, Max.
Listen, Max.
No.
Max,
You're
listen
wrong,
to
Molly.
What I said to you. Listen to what – hold on, Max. Listen to what I said to you. I understand your point about the defense. I said follow my storyline. If Tom Brady plays lights out in those 2 to 3 playoff games leading into the Super Bowl, there is no storyline that would eclipse that Tom Brady going against Patrick Mahomes. Not Drew Brees, not Aaron Rodgers, not Russell Wilson.
Hold
now,
up.
If the defense played lights out, but Tom Brady struggled, you're right. But I said follow my storyline.
Tom Brady plays lights out.
Well, Tom Brady was someone else.
And then goes to the Super Bowl against Mahomes. There is no storyline that comes close to that.
Yeah.
None.
Stephen A.,
let me just say one more thing to you, too.
I
understand the Drew Brees one. Let me get in here real quick, Max. It's a distant second, but what was the storyline all offseason? Who's going to win? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? If Brady comes in and dominates and wins a Super Bowl, that's a whole other storyline. We debate that often. What's the Patriots dynasty about?
But you see what you guys are doing?
So there's that whole other piece. And Brady's way more box office than Drew Brees. Sorry. He's a bigger name.
You see what you... Actually, the highest-rated Super Bowl, as I recall, was the Drew Brees Super Bowl, right after Katrina.
He's a bigger name.
Wasn't that the highest-rated
Super
Bowl?
That was Peyton Manning.
Very, very popular.
That was Peyton Manning.
Let me just say. All right, maybe Drew Brees Super Bowl is very, very highly rated. Let me just say that what you guys are saying is, if Brady does this, you mean if he was someone else? I know he has a lot of weapons, but Brady hasn't played lights out in consecutive playoff games in years. Like, he couldn't beat the Dolphins
a few weeks ago, Max,
to the Titans last year.
A few weeks ago, you were complimentary about Brady and how he was playing. You were very complimentary about Brady and how he was playing.
He can have one or two nice games. Has he had four consecutive games this season where you're like,
what if Brady had four?
And he's got every weapon in the world.
What if he had three going into the Super Bowl against Mahomes?
If you're right, if Brady does all that, then you'll be right.
I'm saying
he ain't going
to
do it.
We do have to go.